While we are still at the beginning of the new year, before I continue going, I heard last week that my voice came through soft. It was hard to hear. So maybe that could be controlled by the sound panel back there. They said I was soft. So are those online, can you hear me well? Those online, can you hear me?
Yes.
Doesn't sound good.
Yes.
Is it loud enough, Eli?
Yes, we can hear you.
Right. Yes, I can hear you.
Thank you. Okay, so this morning, while we're still at the beginning of the year, I'd like to speak about different ways that we could drift from the Lord and how we need to wake up and come back to Him. Our drift from God can be subtle, and that we don't even realize that it is occurring. A person may think that he or she hasn't drifted from the Lord. But, well, I go to church, you know, so no awakening or no return is necessary. But if we want to be honest with ourselves, from time to time, we all drift from the Lord in one way or another, and we need to be awakened and to return to Him. If we are attentive to the voice of the Holy Spirit, He is lovingly awakening us and calling us to return, to come home, and to go even deeper with Him. Not only to come home, but to go deeper with Him. Isaiah 55, verse 7 reads, "And let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." If we could turn to Luke chapter 15, and beginning at verse 11. Luke chapter 15, and beginning at verse 11. Luke chapter 15, beginning at verse 11, we'll read verses 11 to 24. "And he said, the man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me.' So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger? I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.' So he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on him. Bring the fatted calf, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. And he was lost and has been found.' And they began to celebrate." So the prodigal son wanted to live life his way. He didn't want the guidelines and the boundaries of his father. There are people who accept the Lord, but then feel that his teachings, his doctrine, that he's different. to a far country. A person who leaves the Lord backslides, goes back into sin, and becomes distant from God. And the process of backsliding can be very subtle. It's an important point. Can be very subtle. A person backsliding may not realize that he or she is drifting away from the Lord. We need to seriously examine ourselves this morning. Verse 13 here mentions loose or riotous living in the King James Version. And verse 16 says, he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating. This represents contamination with worldly pleasures. So what does prodigal mean? Let's define it. Prodigal is defined as a person of reckless, wasteful living. No one was giving anything to him. He was away from God's provision and blessing and protection. Are we living outside of God's boundaries, his laws, his doctrine, outside of Jesus' teachings and the Gospels? A person could be out of God's boundaries and not even realize it. Are we becoming, or have we become, backslidden? Are we giving due diligence to the teachings of Jesus? Do we revere and worship him as we should? The condition of becoming prodigal is not always an outward, noticeable condition. A person can become prodigal in his or her mind. He or she could be mentally rejecting the teachings, the doctrines of the Lord, which will eventually show in words or actions. Are we in, or am I in, a prodigal condition this morning? Can we readily say no, or have we begun to become prodigal and don't realize it? Keep in mind that becoming prodigal is a very subtle process. Where is our level of commitment and dedication and consecration to the Lord this morning? Are we giving our best to Jesus, keeping in mind how he gave his best to us? Verse 17 says, he came to his senses. There are times when we need to examine and scrutinize our Christian walk and come to our senses. Are we genuinely walking with the Lord, or have we been subtly straying from him? You know, as I always mention, you stray from the Lord, it could be very subtle. You might be starting to stray. You know, you're just like this. Here's your straight line, and you're going slightly off course. As you keep going off course, you're further and further away from the Lord. It starts subtly, but then you wind up distant from the Lord. That's why I'm saying, are we subtly straying from the Lord? We need to examine ourselves. A person who leaves the Lord leaves a provision from him. This includes a spiritual provision also. The Lord permitted the prodigal son to see the miserable condition that he was in. If he did not see his misery, he could not repent. Some people stray from the Lord and are not even aware that they have strayed. They need the Holy Spirit to show them their condition. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to show us our condition and to lead us to repentance this morning. And I think the worship was leading towards that. You know, a lot of times, I say all the times, I really don't know. For the most part, I don't have any idea like what the worship is going to be. And I pray, Lord, give me the right songs. And what we sang this morning happened to coincide with the message. The Holy Spirit did that. But we need to ask the Holy Spirit to show us our condition and to lead us to repentance this morning. We want to remember God's question to Adam in the Garden of Eden that was, "Where are you?" Spiritually speaking, where are we this morning? We want to pray, "Lord, wake us up to our condition." We want the Lord to show us where we are. Where are we this morning? Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 to 17 gives a clear idea and picture of what it means to wake up and to arise. I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 4. You can follow with me. Ephesians chapter 5, rather. I'm sorry. Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to read verses 14 to 17. Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 14 to 17. Just give you a moment to get there. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." So be very careful then how you live. We cannot live our lives according to what we think we can do or should do, or according to our own wants and desires. Jesus bought us with his blood. Our lives are to be lived according to his will for us. So we can't be doing what we think is right. It's got to be what the Lord wants for us, his will, his desires, his guidance in our lives. And if we don't know what it is, you ask the Lord, and I'm sure he will show you. If the Lord had to weigh us in the balance, would the scale weigh heavier with our will or with the Lord's will for our lives? What emphasis or what energy do we put into the Lord's will for our lives? No, we all choose careers. I did many years ago, and you put a lot of effort into it. In high school, you most likely had to do a career paper, and the teacher told you, don't leave one stone upon another unturned. Dig into your career. Make sure that you are going into what you want. It's very serious because you'll be doing it the rest of your life. How much more serious is it that we're in the path that God wants us to be in? Very serious. What emphasis or energy do we put into the Lord's will for our lives? If it were the same emphasis and energy that we put into our own will for our lives, what Christians we would be. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Wow, Paul said this back then, maybe around 60 AD. What would he say now? Talking about the days being evil. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. As we watch current events, we see that the days are dark and evil, but the Christian has the opportunity to shine in this darkness. Ask the Lord for a divine appointment so that you can shine the light of Christ into someone else's life. Make the most of every opportunity. Pray for a divine appointment. By divine appointment, what I mean is, ask the Lord, "Lord, is this something that I could witness to today?" He answers that. It's happened to me before. It could happen in front of the food store where you go shopping. Wherever you go, Go to a mall, it could happen over there. Ask the Lord for divine opportunities. Many people need to know the Lord. Ask the Lord to give you the words. Shine the light of Christ into someone else's life. Maybe it could happen on social media. You could say something. You could say something on Facebook. I know there's times I would speak about the Lord on Facebook and someone said, well, that's going to be deleted. You know, the administration of Facebook, they're going to delete that. You know what? I checked, they didn't. Speak about the Lord on social media. And what's very nice is that we have, I want to say it now, we have Jordan Fernandez who developed a Facebook page for the church. And we're speaking about the Lord on Facebook. That's good. That is making the most of every opportunity that Jesus gives you. And thank you, Jordan, for doing it. So we want to be diligent in our service, diligent in our service to the Lord. Be very careful then how you live. So be diligent in your witness to the Lord. Let people see your actions, which speak louder than words. And getting back to Luke chapter 15, I want to reread verses 18 and 19. Turn back to that. Luke 15, verses 18 and 19. I will get up and go to my father. I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. King James Version says, I will arise. The prodigal son had to swallow his pride. He arose. What does it mean, he arose? It didn't simply mean to get up from a sitting position. Arise in this sense means to come up out of your condition. He arose. He mentally, at that point, came up out of his condition. He said, I'll go home. I'll go back to my father, and I'll admit I have sinned. I have sinned. He swallowed his pride. He arose. He came up out of his condition. He was awakened. The prodigal son came to his senses. He acknowledged his condition, and he was willing to come out of it. He repented. Can we be honest with ourselves and the Lord, and acknowledge that we may need to arise out of some condition that we may be in and repent before him? Psalm 34, verse 18 states, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such as be of a contrite spirit. What does contrite mean? Sincere remorse for sin. Genuine repentance. So with that in mind, let me reread this verse. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such as have a sincere remorse and a genuine repentance for their sin. In the hymn, Pass Me Not, the first line states, Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. We should always approach the Lord in humility, because we all have sin in our lives. We sang this morning, we've come to humble ourselves. We sang about the greatness of God, but in all his greatness, we have to come before him humbly. The second verse of that song states, Father, we come to love you. God of life, we want to soften our hearts. We bow down before your throne of grace. We come to humble ourselves. Do we need to be awakened to come to our senses, to arise out of some condition that we may be in, to return to the Lord and to repent before him? I think the answer may be yes for all of us. We need to ask God to put his flashlight on our hearts, so that we could see and acknowledge our condition, our faults and sins, and repent. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24 read, Search me, O God. We sang this morning. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This morning we want to say, search me, O God. Maybe we have subtly strayed from the Lord and don't even realize it. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to show us where and how we have strayed from Him so that we can return. Verse 18 of Luke chapter 15 says, I will arise and go to my Father. Are we willing to go before our Heavenly Father and repent before Him? God is anxiously awaiting our return with great love and mercy and compassion and with open arms. You know, there was a minister that was preaching on this a while back. And so I could just see the Father over here looking out the front door of his house. Every morning going to his front door, looking down the road, maybe my son will come back today. Didn't happen. Went out the next morning, look out the door, look down the road, maybe today my son will come back. And the next day, till finally the son came back. That's how God is with us. He's anxiously awaiting our return with great love and mercy and open arms and compassion. He will forgive those who are genuinely penitent before Him. Jeremiah chapter 31, 34 says, for I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. Verse 19, the prodigal son said, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. In his penitent state, the prodigal son says, make me as one of your hired men. We want to ask the Lord to make us into the person that He wants us to be. He will not view us as a hired servant, but He will refer to you as His son or daughter who has returned. And when you return, He'll have a big smile on His face. God is the master of restoration. He delights in restoration. It is written from Genesis to Revelation. The prodigal son returned to the Lord, and provision and celebration was made for him. God has great joy when the soul returns to Him. Heaven rejoices when the soul returns to the Lord. The Lord is calling us to come home. Come back to the love that you had for Jesus when you first met Him. The love, the excitement that you had for Jesus when you first accepted Him into your life. This morning, can you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit awakening us, calling us to return, to come home, and to go deeper with Him? We want to return and repent before Him. We want to come back to the loving arms of our Heavenly Father. In one way or another, we all need to return to the Lord, to come home. It's a good thought at the beginning of a new year. God will take great joy in our restoration. So we're going to get down to pray now. I just want to spend some time before the Lord. You may feel that you have to return to the Lord. Maybe you stray, subtly stray. God knows your heart. I don't. Let's spend some time before the Lord in prayer.